Greetings, my Kardec radio friends, from the voice of Allan Kardec. Today's audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec covers number 257. And rather than the usual questions and answers, it is an essay, a theoretical essay on sensation in spirits. And by the way, this essay will be covered in two segments. Enjoy. The body is the instrument of pain, if not its primary cause, at least its intermediate cause. The soul has the perception of such pain, and this perception is the effect. The memory that it preserves of pain can be very acute, but this does not imply any physical sensation. Actually, cold and heat cannot disorganize the soul's tissues. A soul can neither freeze nor burn. Every day, do we not see the memory of or the concern about a physical ill producing its effects, even to the extent of causing death? We all know that individuals who have undergone an amputation feel pain in the limb that no longer exists. The limb is obviously neither the site nor the starting point of the pain. The brain itself has simply retained the impression. Likewise, we can assume there is something similar in the sufferings of spirits after death. An in-depth study of the perispirit, which plays such an important role in all spirit phenomena, such as vaporous or tangible apparitions, in the state of the spirit at the moment of death, in the so frequent notion that it is still alive, in the frightening situation of suicide, in those who have undergone capital punishment, in those who have overindulged in material pleasures, and so many other facts have shed light on this question, providing the explanations that we are presenting here in summary. The perispirit is the link that unites the spirit with the matter of the body. It is drawn from the environment, from the universal fluid. At the same time, it contains electricity, magnetic fluid, and to a certain extent, inert matter. We could say that it is the quintessence of matter. It is the beginning of organic life, but not of mental life, because that belongs to the spirit. The perispirit is also the agent of external sensations. In the body, these sensations are localized in the organs that serve as their channels. When the body is destroyed, the sensations become generalized, and that is why a spirit does not say that it suffers more in its head than in its feet. Moreover, we have to be on guard against being confused as to the sensations of the perispirit, which have become independent of the sensations of the body. We can only take the latter as a term of comparison and not as an analogy. Freed from the body, the spirit may suffer, but this suffering is not the same as that of the body. However, it is not an exclusively mental suffering either, like remorse, because the spirit may complain of being hot or cold. Nevertheless, it suffers no more in summer than in winter. We have seen spirits pass through flames without feeling any pain, showing that temperature has no effect on them. The pain they do feel is not physical pain per se. It is a vague inner sensation of which the spirit is not always aware because the pain is not localized or produced by an outside agent. It is a memory rather than a reality, but a very painful memory nonetheless. At other times, it is more than a memory, as we shall see. Experience has taught us that the perispirit disengages itself more or less slowly from the body at the moment of death. During the first few moments, the spirit does not comprehend its situation. It does not think it has died because it feels alive. It sees its body at its side and knows that it is its own, but does not understand why they are separate. This state lasts as long as there is a link between the body and the perispirit. A suicide once said to us, "No, I'm not dead," and added, "Yet I can feel the worms devouring me." Of course, the worms were not devouring the perispirit, let alone the spirit, but only the body. Since the separation between the body and the perispirit was not yet complete, there continued to be a mental repercussion that transmitted the sensation to the body. Repercussion is not quite the right term, however, since it may imply a highly physical effect. It was rather the sight of what was happening within the body itself. The perispirit was still attached, producing an illusion, which was taken as real. Thus, it was not a memory of the past occurrence. Its body had never been devoured by worms during life, but a current sensation. With these elements in mind, let us see what conclusions we might draw from these facts by studying them carefully. During life, the body receives impressions and transmits them to the spirit via the perispirit, which probably comprises what is called the neural fluid. Author's footnote to the words neural fluid. The instrument that is indispensable for the soul to relate to the outside world, since by its very nature the neural fluid is very material and coarse, it is necessarily separate from the soul itself, but becomes more rarefied as the soul becomes sublimated and gradually approaches the radiant nature of the spirit. When it is dead, the body no longer feels anything because it has neither spirit nor perispirit. When disengaged from the body, the perispirit experiences sensation, but since sensation no longer reaches it via a limited channel, it becomes generalized. Since the perispirit is only an agent of transmission, because only the spirit possesses consciousness, we may deduce that if the perispirit could exist without the perispirit would feel no more than the dead body. Likewise, if the spirit had no perispirit, it would be inaccessible to any painful sensation whatsoever, as is the case with completely purified spirits. We know that the more a spirit purifies itself, the more etherealized the essence of its perispirit becomes, so that material influences diminish as the spirit progresses, that is, as its perispirit becomes less coarse. You might say, however, that if pleasant sensations are transmitted to the spirit via the perispirit, so are unpleasant ones. And if a pure spirit is inaccessible to some, it must be equally inaccessible to others. Yes, without a doubt, but only those sensations coming from the influence of the matter with which we are familiar. The sound of our instruments and the smell of our flowers make no impression whatsoever on a pure spirit, yet it enjoys inner sensations of indefinable enchantment, of which we do not have the slightest idea, because they are as imperceptible to us as light is to those born blind. We know they exist, but in what way? Our knowledge ends there. We know that spirits have perception, sensation, hearing, and sight, but these faculties are attributes of their whole being, not only of certain organs, as is the case with human beings. But once again, how is this so? That is what we do not know. The spirits themselves cannot explain it to us, because our language was not made to express ideas that we cannot conceive of. Just as in the language of primitive tribes, there are no terms for the expression of our arts, sciences, and philosophical doctrines.